Gail Carriger's Soulless burst onto the literary scene in 2009, becoming an instant sensation that blended paranormal romance, steampunk aesthetics, and Victorian comedy of manners into what would later be dubbed Manorpunk. The novel launched the 5-book Parasol Protectorate series, which has sold over 1 million copies worldwide and been translated into more than a dozen languages. Celebrities like Neil Gaiman and Felicia Day have praised its witty dialogue and unique world-building. What makes this paranormal romance stand out is its pragmatic, tea-loving heroine who approaches supernatural chaos with distinctly British sensibility. The book's clever inversion of vampire and werewolf tropes, presenting them as integrated members of Victorian high society, created a refreshing departure from the brooding supernatural creatures that dominated urban fantasy at the time. Miss Alexia Terabody navigates Victorian society burdened by 3 significant social disadvantages. Her half-Italian heritage, considered quite scandalous in proper English circles, her status as a spinster at the advanced age of 26, and her preternatural condition. She is soulless, possessing the rare ability to temporarily neutralize supernatural powers through physical contact. This unique trait makes her both fascinating and somewhat feared in London's supernatural society. In Carriger's richly imagined alternate Victorian London, supernatural beings have been seamlessly woven into the fabric of British society for centuries. The integration runs so deep that Queen Victoria herself maintains a sophisticated network of supernatural advisors, each specializing in different aspects of governance. The vampire hives dominate the cultural sphere, dictating fashion trends from their elegant townhouses and controlling everything from theater productions to art exhibitions. Meanwhile, werewolf packs, organized into highly disciplined military units, serve as the crown's primary defensive force, particularly in colonial matters. Both supernatural species operate under elaborate systems of etiquette, hierarchical structures, and ancient traditions that rival the complexity of human aristocracy. When Alexia's quiet evening at a society ball is disrupted by an attack from a disheveled vampire, whom she is forced to dispatch with her wooden hairpin in self-defense, she becomes unwillingly entangled with Lord Conall McCann, the imposing Scottish werewolf who heads the Bureau of Unnatural Registry, BUR. Their first interaction crackles with tension. Alexia's methodical, scientifically minded approach clashes spectacularly with McCann's more instinctual alpha wolf temperament. Yet beneath their verbal sparring lies an undeniable attraction that neither is quite prepared to acknowledge. The mysterious dead vampire presents several troubling anomalies. His shabby appearance defies the typically fastidious vampire standards. His desperate hunger suggests a complete lack of hive support. And most disturbingly, he seemed entirely unaware of Alexia's preternatural nature, an ability that normally registers immediately with supernatural beings through their heightened senses. These irregularities hint at a deeper conspiracy threatening London's carefully maintained supernatural order. This opening sequence establishes the novel's central conflict. The delicate balance between supernatural and human society depends entirely on strict regulation and adherence to established protocols. Someone operating outside these systems, creating unauthorized vampires, threatens not just supernatural society, but the entire carefully constructed social order of Victorian London. More significantly, it introduces readers to Alexia's remarkable character, a woman who responds to supernatural chaos with pragmatic efficiency, wielding her parasol as both weapon and fashion statement, and who insists on maintaining proper social decorum even in the face of violence. Her ability to calmly request tea and sandwiches while dealing with supernatural threats perfectly encapsulates the novel's blend of proper Victorian manners with supernatural adventure. Alexia's family remains willfully ignorant of her preternatural status, viewing her instead through the harsh lens of Victorian social expectations. They see only an aging spinster cursed with what they consider unfortunate attributes: a domineering personality, dark complexion, and overly strong facial features. Her Italian heritage, considered exotic and somewhat suspicious in Victorian London, only compounds their disappointment. Her half-sisters, Evelyn and Felicity, spend their days in pursuit of the latest fashion plates and eligible gentlemen, while her mother continuously bemoans Amexia's intellectual pursuits and apparent inability to secure a husband. The family dynamic serves as a microcosm of Victorian society's suffocating constraints on women, constraints that Alexia consistently defies through her sharp intelligence, practical nature, and steadfast refusal to conform to societal expectations. Her friendship with Ivy Hisselpenny provides both delightful comic relief and meaningful contrast to Alexia's character. Where Alexia approaches life with pragmatism and direct speech, Ivy floats through on waves of romantic fantasy and theatrical declarations. This difference manifests most visibly in Ivy's terrible propensity for wearing extremely silly hats, elaborate constructions that often feature stuffed birds, excessive ribbons, or improbable arrangements of artificial flowers. Their unlikely friendship endures because they've learned to accept each other's peculiarities, Ivy's flights of fancy and Alexia's blunt assessments, a dynamic that mirrors the larger theme of acceptance across supernatural divides. The supernatural world operates within its own intricate political structure, one that parallels yet complicates human social hierarchies. Vampires organize themselves into sophisticated hives, each led by a queen who maintains absolute authority over her territory and charges. Werewolves, in contrast, form packs that follow a more militaristic structure, with alpha leaders who command through a combination of physical dominance and tactical acumen. Lord Akeldama, a flamboyant rogue vampire who has chosen independence from hive politics, serves as Alexia's most colorful and valuable confidant. His character deliberately subverts traditional vampire tropes. Instead of brooding in shadows, he revels in the latest fashions, trades in society gossip, and surrounds himself with a carefully curated collection of beautiful young men he affectionately calls his drones. These drones serve not just as aesthetic accessories, but as an elaborate information-gathering network throughout London. When Alexia receives a formal invitation from Countess Nadasdi, the formidable queen of the Westminster Hive, Lord Akeldama's typically playful demeanor turns serious. His warning about the vampire queen's legendary cruelty and his suggestion to consult Lord Machen before accepting highlights the dangerous waters Alexia must navigate between supernatural factions. This carefully constructed social landscape creates a world where supernatural politics both mirror and magnify human social hierarchies. Alexia occupies a unique position within this complex web. Her preternatural abilities make her too knowledgeable about the supernatural world to fit comfortably among ordinary humans, yet her very nature as a preternatural makes her fundamentally opposed to supernatural beings, whose powers she can negate with a single touch. This tension between worlds drives much of the novel's conflict and social commentary. The relationship between Alexia and Lord Machen evolves through a series of increasingly intense encounters. When she visits his chaotic office to discuss the Countess's invitation, their argument about her safety reveals his protective instincts and his growing attraction to her warm and spicy sweet scent. Their verbal sparring matches highlight their fundamental compatibility despite apparent differences. After Alexia is attacked in a hackney carriage, Lord Machen rescues her, demonstrating his Anubis form, transforming only his head into wolf shape while keeping his human body, a skill unique to alphas of his age. Their walk towards safety leads to an unexpected first kiss that leaves Alexia reeling from its intensity. The Earl moves from her lips to her neck, pausing only to comment on the appealing cinnamon and vanilla scent in her hair. Their courtship is complicated by cultural misunderstandings. Lord Machen, following werewolf protocol, waits for Alexia to initiate further romantic advances, the Bitches Dance, where alpha females must stake their claim. Meanwhile, Alexia, bound by human Victorian social rules, expects him to pursue her. This cross-cultural confusion leads to painful awkwardness at a dinner party where they both believe the other has rejected them. Professor Lyle, Lord Macan's beta, finally explains the misunderstanding to both parties. This revelation forces them to navigate between werewolf and human courtship customs, creating both comedy and genuine emotional connection. Their relationship challenges not just Victorian propriety, but supernatural conventions, positioning them as boundary crossers in multiple senses. When they're finally caught in a compromising position by Alexia's family, Lord Macan proposes marriage, but Alexia refuses to believe his sincerity, convinced he's merely trying to do right by her. This misunderstanding reflects her deep-seated insecurities about her appearance and worth, insecurities that Lord Macan must overcome by convincing her he truly values her assertiveness, intelligence, and unconventional beauty. The scientific aspects of the novel emerge through Alexia's encounter with Mr. McDougall, an American scientist whose groundbreaking research focuses on the weighing and measuring of souls. His meticulous experiments, conducted with specially designed brass instruments and precision scales, suggest that supernatural transformation involves an excess of soul that manifests as extraordinary physical abilities. This revolutionary theory proposes that vampires and werewolves possess an abundance of soul rather than being soulless creatures, a direct challenge to centuries of supernatural folklore. McDougall's detailed measurements indicate that the soul has measurable mass, approximately 21 grams, which increases dramatically in supernatural beings. This scientific framework makes Alexia's preternatural state particularly fascinating to researchers. Her ability to temporarily neutralize supernatural powers through physical contact suggests she might function as a kind of spiritual conductor, grounding excess soul energy. The effect is immediate and measurable. Vampires lose their fangs, werewolves revert to human form, and both species become temporarily mortal in her presence. This phenomenon raises intriguing questions about the nature of the soul and its relationship to physical manifestations of supernatural power. The scientific thread takes a sinister turn when Alexia and Lord Akeldama are kidnapped by the Hippocrates Club, a clandestine organization of scientists conducting horrific experiments on supernatural beings. Their underground facility beneath London is a nightmarish fusion of Victorian industrial innovation and mad science. Steam-powered machinery lines the walls, adorned with recurring brass octopus emblems, a motif that creates an unsettling blend of mechanical precision and organic menace. The scientists have developed complex theories about supernatural transformation involving electrical energy and light sensitivity, documented in leather-bound journals filled with detailed anatomical drawings and experimental data. More disturbingly, they reveal their ultimate agenda: supernatural genocide. The Hippocrates Club operates under the guise of protecting British society, viewing vampires and werewolves as dangerous infiltrators who threaten the purity of human civilization. Their experiments include grotesque attempts at soul transfer through blood transfusions and electrical currents, conducted in specially designed chambers equipped with Tesla coils and galvanic batteries. These procedures often result in the painful death of their supernatural test subjects, a fact the scientists dismiss as necessary sacrifice for the greater good. This scientific subplot enriches the novel's world-building by providing a pseudo-rational framework for supernatural phenomenon, while exploring deeper themes of prejudice and xenophobia. The Hippocrates Club's activities mirror real-world scientific racism and eugenics movements, particularly the way pseudo-scientific justifications were used to rationalize discrimination and violence against marginalized groups. This parallel becomes especially pointed in their detailed documentation of supernatural specimens and their attempts to classify supernatural beings as fundamentally separate from humanity. Alexia's position as preternatural places her in a complex ethical dilemma. Her unique abilities make her valuable to both sides. She could potentially assist in developing weapons against supernatural beings, but she chooses instead to protect those she has come to know as individuals rather than monsters. This choice is complicated by her romantic relationship with Lord Mackin and her friendship with Lord Akeldama, forcing her to confront her own prejudices and assumptions about the supernatural world. When Alexia is thrown into a cell with a transformed Lord Mackin during the full moon, the scene masterfully interweaves elements of mortal danger with unexpected tenderness. The massive werewolf, nearly twice her size, with gleaming fangs and razor-sharp claws, charges at supernatural speed across the confined space. However, the beast suddenly halts upon catching her distinctive scent, recognition flickering in those amber eyes. In a moment of pure instinct and trust, Alexia steps forward and embraces the wolf, her preternatural touch instantly transforming him back to human form, leaving him completely naked and vulnerable in her arms. This pivotal encounter forces them to navigate multiple layers of intimacy. Physical nakedness mirrors emotional exposure as they share vital intelligence about their captors while trying to ignore their compromising position. Lord Mackin's protective instincts war with his attraction, while Alexia's scientific mindset catalogs every fascinating detail of werewolf anatomy even as she struggles with propriety. Their forced proximity reveals how deeply their connection runs beyond mere physical attraction. The cell becomes a crucible for their relationship, burning away pretense and social constraints. Lord Mackin's gentle nibbles at her neck, ostensibly to scent mark her, carry deeper meaning about possession and protection. Alexia's scientific exploration of his form belies a more personal curiosity. Their conversation dances between strategy and seduction, with buttons being undone as readily as political allegiances are declared. When he asks which side she's chosen in this war between humans and supernaturals, her admission that she prefers his methods becomes both tactical alignment and romantic declaration. This scene masterfully balances multiple tensions: immediate physical danger against emotional vulnerability, proper Victorian behavior against primal attraction, and scientific rationality against supernatural mystery. The confined space amplifies every gesture, every word carrying multiple meanings. Their growing intimacy is punctuated by moments of humor. Alexia's practical observations about werewolf anatomy, Lord Mackin's exasperated fondness for her analytical mind, even in such circumstances. The sequence reaches its crescendo in the horrifying exsanguination chamber, where science perverts nature itself. Lord Akeldama, the usually effervescent vampire, lies crucified on a metal platform, his immortal blood being mechanically drained while electrical currents course through his body. This grotesque tableau represents the ultimate corruption of scientific pursuit, where prejudice masquerades as progress. Lord Mackin's transformation back to wolf form becomes both tactical necessity and symbolic rejection of human civilization's barbarism. The rescue attempt highlights how their relationship has evolved. Alexia no longer fears the wolf, understanding that true monstrosity lies not in supernatural nature, but in human choices. Through this ordeal, Alexia definitively chooses her path, rejecting Simon's anti-supernatural crusade despite his appeals to scientific rationality. Her love for Lord Mackin transcends categories of human and monster, natural and supernatural, a choice that will reshape her place in both worlds. The climactic rescue scene showcases each character's strengths. Lord Mackin provides raw physical power, tearing apart scientists despite the moon madness. Lord Akeldama, even gravely injured from blood loss, contributes crucial knowledge about disabling the automaton by erasing the Latin word vixi from its forehead. His drones, despite their fashionable appearance, prove remarkably efficient at securing the premises and handling the scientists. Alexia herself remains clear-headed throughout, convincing the terrified MacDougall to untie her and embracing Lord Macan to transform him back to human form when necessary. The aftermath brings unexpected royal recognition when Queen Victoria herself visits Alexia to offer her the position of Maja, the third member of her Shadow Council alongside the vampire potentate and werewolf Duan. This position requires a preternatural to break stalemates between supernatural advisors and investigate matters on the crown's behalf. The queen reveals Lord Macan had recommended Alexia months ago, confirming his long-standing respect for her abilities. The novel concludes with a proper Victorian wedding, though with supernatural twists. Alexia chooses ivory rather than white, reasoning that when one has seen one's affianced naked and covered in blood, one is no longer quite pure enough for white. Lord Akeldama helps design her sumptuous French gown, while at the reception in Hyde Park, the werewolves perform a traditional ceremony honoring Alexia. These details illustrate how their marriage represents a bridge between human and supernatural societies. The epilogue ties up loose ends with characteristic wit. The Hippocras Club's premises are sold to nouveau riche chamber pot manufacturers, sending aristocrats into hysterics. Society reluctantly accepts Alexia's engagement to Lord Macan, with some aristocrats extending cautious overtures of friendship, which Alexia proudly rebuffs. Mr. MacDougall returns to America with Alexia's brass parasol as a memento of his unrequited love, eventually marrying a veritable battle axe of a woman and happily submitting to being bossed around. Soulless succeeds brilliantly by using supernatural elements to examine and subvert Victorian social conventions. Alexia's preternatural status makes her literally soulless, according to the novel's mythology, yet she demonstrates more ethical clarity and emotional depth than many soulful characters. Her practical approach to moral dilemmas, such as her principled defense of supernatural beings despite her ability to negate their powers, highlights how true virtue transcends conventional religious notions of the soul. This contradiction challenges Victorian notions of propriety and morality, suggesting that true character lies in actions rather than conformity to social expectations. The novel's treatment of sexuality deliberately challenges Victorian prudishness while maintaining period-appropriate sensibilities. Supernatural beings in this world are more sexually liberated. Vampires are openly bisexual, werewolves are comfortable with nudity, and both species approach physical pleasure with fewer inhibitions than their human counterparts. Lord Akeldama's flamboyant behavior and the casual sensuality of the Westminster Hive demonstrate how supernatural society creates spaces for expressions of sexuality that Victorian human society suppresses. Alexia's growing comfort with physical intimacy parallels her increasing acceptance of supernatural society's values, from her initial embarrassment at werewolf transformations to her eventual embrace of passionate encounters with Lord Macan. Class and status operate differently in supernatural hierarchies than in human society, offering a compelling critique of Victorian social structures. Lord Akeldama's drones may appear to be mere fashion-conscious dandies, but they prove remarkably capable in crisis, serving as an efficient intelligence network and skilled operators in their own right. Werewolf pack structure values strength and loyalty above birth, allowing characters like Professor Lyle to achieve high status despite humble origins. The vampire hives similarly promote based on ability rather than background, with even newly turned vampires able to rise quickly through the ranks if they demonstrate sufficient capability. These alternative social structures offer implicit criticism of rigid Victorian class hierarchies while presenting viable alternative models of social organization. The novel's feminist themes emerge through Alexia's consistent and deliberate refusal to conform to expectations. She reads inappropriate books on science and philosophy, speaks her mind in mixed company, and ultimately accepts a government position that gives her significant authority over both supernatural and human affairs. Her parasol, both fashion accessory and weapon, symbolizes how she repurposes feminine trappings for her own empowerment, transforming conventional markers of feminine refinement into tools of agency. Even her marriage to Lord Macan represents a partnership of equals rather than the submission Victorian wives were expected to demonstrate, with their relationship based on mutual respect and shared adventure rather than traditional power dynamics. Through these elements, the novel suggests that true social progress requires both challenging conventional boundaries and finding ways to transform existing social structures from within. Soulless defies easy categorization, masterfully weaving together elements of paranormal romance, steampunk, mystery, comedy of manners, and alternate history. This genre-bending approach allows Carragher to play with reader expectations and create something genuinely fresh. The paranormal elements provide supernatural threats and powers, from vampires who serve as aristocratic advisors to werewolves who function as military commanders, while the steampunk aesthetic adds brass and steam visual flair and technological intrigue through inventions like mechanical communication devices and advanced weaponry. The mystery plot, centered around the disappearance of supernatural beings, drives the narrative forward, while the comedy of manners delivers razor-sharp witty dialogue and biting social satire worthy of Jane Austen. The novel's greatest strength lies in its remarkable protagonist. Alexia Tarabotti stands apart from typical paranormal heroines. She's pragmatic rather than mystical, intellectual rather than intuitive, and approaches supernatural chaos with a distinctly British demand for proper tea and precisely cut sandwiches. Her Italian heritage and preternatural status make her an outsider in proper Victorian society, yet she navigates both human and supernatural worlds with remarkable aplomb. Her romance with Lord Macan, the gruff werewolf alpha, evolves naturally from initial antagonism to mutual respect and passion, avoiding the instant attraction that characterizes many paranormal romances. Their relationship develops through shared investigations, verbal sparring, and a gradual recognition of each other's strengths. The world-building deserves special praise for its meticulous internal consistency and attention to detail. Carragher creates a version of Victorian London where supernatural beings have been integrated into society for centuries, with all the political, social, and cultural implications such integration would entail. Vampires hold positions in Queen Victoria's shadow cabinet, werewolves serve as military leaders, and both species maintain their own elaborate bureaucracies. The supernatural elements feel organic to the setting rather than imposed upon it, with everything from fashion to technology adapted to accommodate supernatural citizens. The author's extensive research into Victorian customs and etiquette shines through in authentic period details, from the precise rules of calling cards to the intricate social hierarchy of London's supernatural set. In the end, Soulless offers readers a delightful escape into a world where proper manners are as important as supernatural powers, where scientific curiosity coexists with ancient traditions, and where a well-equipped parasol can be both a fashion statement and a weapon against undead assailants. Its enduring appeal lies in this perfect balance. Serious enough to engage the intellect through its mystery and political intrigue, romantic enough to satisfy the heart with its unconventional love story, and witty enough to keep readers smiling long after they've turned the final page. The novel succeeds in creating a unique voice in paranormal fiction by treating the supernatural with the same attention to social protocol as a Victorian dinner party.